All right, we are on Daf Nun Heyman Beis, and we are at the at the top of the page. Not Nun Heyman Beis. Sorry, we're getting Nun Heyman Beis. Nun Beis on Beis. Nun Beis on Beis. Six lines from the eight line, seven lines from the top. Machakos Achas Gedola. A person erases one large letter. This is a Bavli issue. A person erases one large letter. And there's enough room in the erased area to write two letters, small letters, chayiv. So you're liable. Kasev osachas gedola. However, if you write one large letter, even though it takes up enough space to write two letters, potter, because the melach derais is to write two letters or to erase enough area in order to write two letters. Need one of the two. Rabbi Nachum, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Zechomer, B'moichem, B'mekreisiv. There's a chumra in erasing, overwriting, writing, which obviously we just saw. If you erase in order to prepare room for two letters, you're chayiv, and if you write in the area of two letters, you're potter. But besides that, we have here the Gilui Hashas changes the gear, so it should be Zvechomer, B'kosei, M'bemochek. There should be, it should say the following words. V'chomer b'kosev mochek. There's a severity by writing over erasing. What's that severity? Sh'akosev amanas l'kalkel chayav. If somebody writes with the intention of ruining, he's chayav because it's still writing, right? In other words, if you're writing, ruins the paper upon which it's written. So what? Still writing, right? Write a lousy novel, right? So, a story the Rogachev was once asked Gibaskoman to say. I don't think I've ever told over the story, at least not recently. The Rogachev was once asked Gibaskoman a sefer. So they brought in the sefer, and the Mechaber writes the sefer, brought in the sefer to show him. And the Rogachev goes through it page by page, and he says, wow, amazing, extraordinary. This is unbelievable. And so on and so forth, through the entire book. And needless to say, the author is very, very pleased, and he's expecting a great haskama, right? So he asks, he gets up the nerve, he asks Rabbi Trevor, what did you find so amazing? So he said, I knew that there was a process of taking rags and making them into paper, but I didn't know that there was a process to take paper and put it back to rags. So this is... if you write and you ruin the paper by writing on it, you're still chayiv, right? Whereas hamochik amnas l'kalkel, if you erase and you ruin, that's potter, because the mochik has to be specifically to prepare the paper in order to make it suitable to write on it again. Okay? So, going down a line, yeshu kreis in the kuda achas, a person can write one letter, v'chayiv elemishu kreis, one dot. Is chayal mishum kaitsev, and he commits the prohibition of kasiva, of writing. Umishum mochek, and erasing at the same time. And vice versa, yishum mochek nekudahachas, a person can erase one point, v'chayal mishum kaitsev, mishum mochek, and by erasing, be chayal because of writing and because of erasing. How so? Hey, chavir, how does it work? Hoya dalit, it was dalit, vaso resh, right? He made it into a resh, right? By erasing it, so by erasing the point. You're chayiv because of kosev and because of mochek, right? You have to do two letters, obviously, but the point is, each one is a dalet and a resh, okay? Resh vasol dalet, if it was a resh, you made a dalet, chayiv mishum kosev and mishum mochek. In both these cases, you're chayiv both because of writing and of erasing. Period. New question. My binyan hoya ben mishkan. What was the binyan in the mishkan that if you're chayiv, on bone, there's a melacha bone? So says the Gemara, so you know, nosnim kroshim agabi adonim. They used to put the beams on top of the bases, the sockets on the bottom of the beams. Can you picture your mind's eyes the way the Mishkan looked? So they used to put the sockets on the bottom of the beams, the sockets on the bottom, beams on top of the socket. That's building. So it says the Gemara, wait a minute. The Lola Shoisa wasn't temporary because they were constantly on the move. And Binyan, so in that case, you should be in Chayiv, even somebody who's bone is something, temporarily, not permanently. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosi became with you, Choynim and Eitzel Piyadibur, since their camping and traveling was all based on Hashem say so, Kimishi Li'olam, so every time it was like it was eternal. Okay? It was the permanent. We had this yesterday. Wait a minute. Does Hashem promise to give to bring them into the land of Israel? So it's as if it's temporary. So we should say, based on this whole exchange, that binyan l'shoah binyan, that if you build something for a temporary structure, like a sukkah or something like that, it's going to be bonus. And even if it's not proper building, why it's not proper building? Because it was like Lego. You know, they would put the beams in the sockets. That's not building. Minatzad means not in the normal fashion. Hodamra, we should teach us. I feel nosen agabi dover acher. Right? You're building on top of something else. You're not building on the ground. You're building on a socket which is on the ground. And Hodamra shows teaches binyan agabi kelim binyan. That building on top of the on top of other kalim is building, even though you're not building it fixed to the ground in any way, shape, or form. So at least on the last thing, the Gemara says adonim kikarka. No, the adonim were like the ground. Okay, why was that? I don't know. And the truth is, this sugya does not appear in the Bavli. The Bavli never asked where Bona was in the Mishkan. But if you think about it, it's a major problem. How do we know that there was ever a bone in the Mishkan, which is nothing, anything more than temporary? I don't have an answer. Yerushalmi doesn't have a satisfactory answer. Yerushalmi challenges that perhaps even temporary building is a good building, and certainly we see that the Iker building in the Mishkan was not something which got, you know, which was real binyan bakarka, right? It was binyan bakalim almost, right? You were building with logs. Like Lincoln logs, we weren't building structures affixed to the ground. Okay, the Rishonim never resolves it.
So, Hachal Maisa, do we vow building kids building with Legos and Lincoln logs?
No, but only Midrabanan. We do allow kids. We just the grown-ups are not allowed to, but it's only Midrabanan on Midraisa. It's not permanent. Yeah, kids are all fun. That's right. Okay, says Gemara, Tani. Going further with the concept of building, if one person brought the stone and the other person brought the pitch for building a layer of brick, chayev, then I skipped. The person brings the pitch, the cement, he's chayev because he makes it permanent. Rabbi Amar, they're both chayev for placing the stone and placing the pitch. So Rabbi Yosa, no, because it's two separate components. Putting the brick, no. Rabbi Yosef holds you don't. Rabbi Yosef holds that putting the stone itself is a complete melacha. That's his chiddush. Okay. Who's got a cell phone? Just got page. Can I borrow a second? Says no further. So I call Maidim. Everybody agrees. If you first you put down the pitch and achagachnos and evan, and then you put the stone on top of the pitch, shuchayev. Obviously, you're chayev according to Rabban in that case, right? Rabbi Yosef's chiddush was that even if you put it down the stone without pitch, you're chayev. But certainly, if you put the stone on top of the pitch, right? Now, this a builder who put a stone, Barosh Adimus, at the top of a layer of bricks, Chayev. He's Chayev. Now, that's obviously true to Rabbi Yosef. Lamin Yitzchok is going like it's even going according to Rabbi Rabbana. So somehow or another, I guess the last brick doesn't have to be cemented in as well, so therefore, even according to Rabbana, you're Chayev on it. So I ain't the Ovidapin, somebody who makes, now according to the carbon 8 of this means the threshold. You put the wooden pieces on the Dapin, or the mezuzos, and I ain't the Ovid Safion, the threshold or the lid to Chai Mishim Bona. According to the Pnei Moshe, somebody was building a boat, and he built masts, and he built a Safion like Sfinon. You know, like boats, and you're chayv for building a boat, which is very strange because it's totally out of left field. We weren't talking about boats before, but that's how he learns it. Okay. Vasoser. Somebody destroys his chayv.
When you're building each brick, you're chayv a chatos and says, Peshokin. You're chayv for each brick that you.
Going to Rabbi Yosef for sure, yeah. Each brick. Right. It's Marvi Beshurin, though. If you do Behele Machas, so you only bring one, right? It'd be separate Helemos. Okay? as long as it's necessary to break something down for some positive purpose. Rav Chaim Brugger, Shem Rabbi Shimon Lori said, "A goydel kli tzura." Now here also is one of these machlokes between the carbonate and Pnei Moshe, where each one is like a different pole. Carbonate says it means a goydel kli tzura means he learns goydel means to weave, and tzura he learns means palm leaves. Because it's tsurei deko, or palm leaves. So here he said it means that, like we said in Amarav, if you weave the palms, you weave the palms into a vessel. Remember, he said in Amarav, yichai because of oreg. But when you turn the corner and start building up, yichai because of bone. So that's how he learns it here. The Pnei Moshe says much more poshut. Pnei Moshe says you make a decoration on top of the vessel in order to extend it higher. Okay, but the bottom line is, regardless of what we learn, we have to realize that the Yerushalmi is emphasizing here how there's binyan bekalim. And the truth is, according to the Yerushalmi, there really has to be binyan bekalim, because the Yerushalmi made the point before that by the Mishkan, the whole binyan was bekalim. Again, the Bavli has a whole machlokas throughout Masechta Shabbos where the H binyan bekalim or ain't binyan bekalim. But if you think about the source, there's got to be binyan bekalim, because that's all they did in the Mishkan. Okay? That's what the Yerushalmi is stressing here. Rabbi Ila b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Laki said, "Hanofeach kli zchuchit." Somebody who blows glass on Shabbos, chay mishum bona. It's chay because of bona, right? You're building it. Rabbanan the Kesarim b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Laki said, "Yesh dvorim koyvim urechokim." Now this is only part of the statement. The bottom, the Shunis Choset says, "The things which are krovim urechokim, yesh dvorim urechokim ukrovim." In other words, there are things which are distant, but they're all the same malacha. The things that are similar, but they're different malachas. What's an example? For instance, Hagoyda Kli Tzura, somebody who makes these baskets. Ananopea Kli Tzura, somebody who blows glass. And Osa Kli Betfu, somebody who makes a vessel in a mold. They're all different, very different. But Kula Mishun Bona, you're Mechayev all then because of Bona. On the other hand, a Borer, somebody does Borer on Shabbos. The next word, Meshamer, is a mistake. The Korban Al-Te'eda takes it out. If I'm a rocket, it's somebody who sifts. Borer and sifting, they're really the same thing. In both cases, you're taking out the refuse. They're both distinct malachos. Each one is a separate one of 39 malachos. So sometimes acts are similar, yet they fall into different categories. Sometimes acts are dissimilar, but they fall into the same category. Okay? Why is Hoshota not mentioned as being one of the 39 Amalachos? Hoshota means if I extend something from Rishus HaYachid through Rishus HaRabim into another Rishus HaYachid. Why is that not mentioned as being one of the Malachos? It's only Malachor and Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds. Oh, this is a tough one. Very good! Check it out. Bucky and Shas, Bavli and Yerushalmi. Rabbi Akiva holds klutok mishun chadamya. When it passes over the Rishus HaRabim, it's as if it's in the Rishus HaRabim. So if I extend something from a private domain over a public domain into a private domain, chayv melacha of hoshata, right? That's called hoshata. It's a new type of melacha. So why is not mentioned? Let it be number 40. Excellent, Dr. Spido. So the size of the world, I'll tell you what, Rabbi Simon Shem Rabbi Shem Levi says, Mnei Machlok, it's Rabbi Kiva Chon, because not everybody agrees. Rabbi Kiva, it's Kluta Kamishun Chadami, Chachomi, well, it's not. So therefore, Chachomi, don't count as being a separate Malacha. Rabbi Chizke, Rabbi Yudah ben Levi, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, B'Shem Rabbi said, Yes, Alein, Oshota, Taki, add it on. It's a 40th Malacha. So if that's the case, why Taki isn't mentioned to our Mishnah? So it says more, a very interesting answer. All malachas go through one from one rishus to another rishus. V'zubishtein, this has to go through two rishus. It's a funny, really funny thing. That's what he says. What can I say? It says it has to go through two rishus, so therefore it's two different. Or I like this one better. All the other malachos have tolados. We might not know what the tolados are, but they all have tolados. Oshota has no tolada, because anything made Oshota of tolada of Oshota, a derivation of Oshota, would really be Hotzah. So therefore, Oshota has no tolados, and that's why it's not a canton or a mishnah, because it's not separated. It's not the same to like the other malachos in the regular mishnah. They said another principle. Anything which is suitable to safeguard or preserve, people do safeguard or preserve something like it. If somebody takes it out, even though he himself had no intent, concerning it, since it's universally accepted as being something worth saving and preserving. Chayav chatas. You're chayav chatas a lot for taking it out. Chosha eno kosher letznio, anything which is not normally safeguarded. Vanity, most people don't normally safeguard it. Lotiyah b'Shabbos, and you take it out on Shabbos. Eno chayav ela amatznia. The only person who's actually will actually save that is chayav. For example, a good example would be the chvesi. You have a piece of paper in your pocket, which really has no chashivas. Well, the chvesi, if you have somebody who for whom this paper has some significance, let's say it's a youth stamp, right? Youth stamp has no significance. Truth is, nowadays, I don't know, because it's a collector's item. That was the point I was about to make. But let's say, hypothetically speaking, let's take something else. Let's take
a piece of paper, a telephone number on it?
A telephone number, right. Very good. So now, so chashivas is somebody who wants to save the phone number for your partner for taking out, but since he's taken that, it's chai. Very good. Okay, Rob. Now, the Gemara gives other examples. Chunam Shem Lezer says, La'akum Yisamer. It's talking about Avodah Zorah. For example, Avodah Zorah, you don't save it. But some people might want to save Avodah Zorah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of destroying it or burning it, right? So for them, it's Choshev, right? Rabbi Yochanan, Yisuri HaNoah Yisamer. It's talking about Yisuri HaNoah, right? Same idea. Same with Yisuri HaNoah. They want to keep from the mitzvah of burning it. Rav Chista Mali Shilre Yisamer. It's a generic statement. It means that you need to have a shear in order to be chayef. It's not talking about any specific substance. When the Mishnah says that anything which is kosher, ain't lo kosher latznia, is ain't no chayef ella matznia, the norm is not safeguard, only person safeguard is chayef. Mishnah didn't have anything specific in mind, just telling us that normally you need a shear of hotza. Okay? So it's tani tani. There's some alert to our Mishnah. Koshu. They chayev on koshu. I'm skipped. It's tiny, tiny chayev chatos. So you're chayev chatos. Okay? Now, chayev chatos means in the ratio of chayev chatos. That's what it says. Chayev chatos alav, right? They're on the safe of the Mishnah, however, it says eno chayev, right? So that he's learning that. That's a raya. It's tiny, tiny koshu. There's another tana which says that chayev chatos big koshu, okay? They chayev chatos on a koshu, right? Now, what's the difference? So manda mar chayev chatos miseil rav chista. He says just plain chayev chatos. So he holds like rav chista that you need to have a shear. You can't say a chayev on koshu. Manda mar koshu. He says you chayev chatos on a koshu. So Maseil Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yechon, it's a right for Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yechon, that's possibly that our Mishnah is addressing somehow or another those objects in which a koshu is also chayev. What's an object in which a koshu will also be chayev? Avodah Zorah and Yisurei HaNoah. So what I said before is actually wrong. Now I realize I made a mistake. The machlokes between Rabbi Yechon and Rav Chuna, and the Chuna on the one hand, and Rabbi Chista on the other hand, is in the ratio of our Mishnah. When the Mishnah says kosher latznia umatznia kamo v'tziu b'shabbos chayev chatos olav, so is that talking about a regular shear, in other words, whatever the regular shear is, or is talking even about avodah zarah and yisurei hanoah? So it depends. If you say it's just chayev chatos olav, so it's talking about anything, a regular thing, then you need a regular shear for it. If it says chayev chatos olav b'koshu, then that indicates that the ratio of our Mishnah is talking about avodah zarah and yisurei hanoah, where you'd be chayev on a koshu. Why? Because even a person who has a koshu of avodah zarah and yisurei hanoah would want to save it specifically for the purpose of burning it. Okay? Manda mar koshu misay the rabbi lezer rabbi yochon. Rabbi yitzar b'sher rabbi yisrael. Chinah said, kigon ha-moch sheet kinon nidosa. This is, when it says eno kosher latznia, what is eno kosher latznia referring to? So that's talking about something like a cotton tampon, which people don't normally keep. I guess it's a used one. So no matter how large it is, people don't normally keep it or they don't want to keep it. So therefore, that's something which you're not going to be chayv on for Tzor on Shabbos. Okay. Malachadal, Amotzi Tevin. Somebody takes out hay. The shear of hay is kamole pipora, the amount which takes to fill the mouth of a cow, because cows eat hay. Eitza, you take it's a tougher stuff. It's like twigs, actually. Kamole pi gomo. it's whatever the camels will eat. Because camels eat that stuff. Amir, which is some type of also some type of hay or straw. Kimoli pitlet, what a goat, what a young goat will eat. What a goat will eat. Asavim, grass, kimoli pitlet, like what a young goat will eat. Ali shum vali psalim, if you have leaves of onion or leaves of garlic and leaves of onion, lachim, if they're moist, kigrogeres ashiras kigrogeres, because they're still foodstuffs. Yveshim, if they're dry, then they're like spices or herbs, kimole pigdi. So the shear becomes the amount of stuff which you need in order to feed a goat, which is larger. Veinstein from Zemze, they do not join together. Neishlo Shovushin, because they're not 100% equal in their shear, and they're slightly different in what's required. Amotzi Ochlin Bikrogeres, so he takes out any food the size of Grogeres, which is between a Gazayas and a Kabetza. Chayev. You're Chayev for doing so. Mistafim Zemse, and all types of food joined together. Mivnesh Shavu Bishurim, because they're similar in their Shurim of Grogeres. Chutz, except Mikli Plipayan from their shells, Gernaim, and their seeds. Vukzein, and their branches. With subon and their coarse grain, when we're sown on another type of coarse grain. Rabbi Yehuda chutz miklipe adoshim shem izbachel sumo. Rabbi Yehuda says anything except for the husks of barley, not of barley, of lentils, which are cooked with them, are all mitzdaref to make up the shear of a grogeris. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi Glilo, b'shem Rabbi Yossi ben Chayna said, chamor. The more severe shear can help comprise the less severe shear. However, the less severe shear cannot help comprise the more severe shear. How so? Asavim, which you need less grass to be chayav on, because a goat eats less, they are mitzdarev, they join together with the tevet, meaning the more dense stuff, in order to make up the shear of a para. Yeah. Chamur mashlin lekal. The more stringent helps be mashlim, the less stringent, the more lenient. Meinakal mashlim lechomer, not vice versa. If you have one of the less lenient commodities, they do not make up the shear of the more lenient commodities. Says the Gemara, asavi mashlim leteven. What? I'm sorry. It only works one way, not the other. Timothy, we learned over there. Habeged, hasak, the garments and sacks joined together in terms of its tarfus lutuma. Hasak va'or, sacks and leather joins together. Hor va'amapot, leather and a mat. A putz means made out of some sort of other fiber. Mitzdarim Zem said they all joined together. What are they joined together for? Tuma, right, Tuma Medras. You said Zov sits on it, or steps on it, actually. Rabbi Shimon is so Mishra, and Rabbi Shimon is wise, and Nesha Yim Ruhilatavi Moshe. Because the Zov could sit in all of something which is made of all of them together, so therefore they all joined together. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Nichoy itzdarfu lemvoy, shav, I understand they joined together vis-a-vis tuman tara, shekeit shavu l'shiur, shavu l'mosha b'tefach. Because they're equivalent in some place, and that the shear of all of them for a Moshe is a tefach, even though for other things the shear is larger, for a Moshe the shear of all of them is a tefach. That's for the cloth itself. But if it's made designated to be a seat, that's to be a cloth for weaving, but it's cloth for sitting, so it's one tefach. Okay? However, the next word is a typo. It should be, according to Lieberman, b'shabbos, according to the Korban Eda, hocha. Same thing. Because yeah, hocha here means Shabbos. So hocha minayin. By the way, today, on NPR, they interviewed a guy who's a professor of Aramaic at Northeastern here. Zagoy. Christian. No, not Syriac from southern Turkey. So they ask him Say something Aramaic for us, you know. At the end of the interview. Say, you know, he said that a whole bunch of people still speak Aramaic. So he said in perfect Aramaic. It's not such a genius, but it's interesting. It's just interesting. Shalom Aleichem. Which is really Aramaic for Shalom Aleichem. The interviewer, what's his name? Robert Siegel, right? He knew Shalom Aleichem. He knew it was Shalom Aleichem. He's that Jewish, he is. But it was interesting that the Taka said it the way the Aramaic is pronounced, in the proper Aramaic, Shalom Aleichem. Okay. So, says more further. I was waiting maybe to start teaching you Shalmi over the radio, but it didn't happen. But the announcer, C. Robert Siegel, did say that the Talmud was written Aramaic. All right. Says more, so again, Hachor, B'Shabbos, Minayin, Amreb Zir, Kumi, Raimono, Shekin, Shova, Basik. Yeah, they joined together here, because here if you burn, they also joined together. Amreb Zir said, what are you saying? On a boy, so I asked you what, whether they joined together for a shear for taking them out on Shabbos. V'at Amreb Zir, you told me that they joined together for a shear for making a fire? I'm not asking you about a fire, I'm asking you about Otsah. So he said back, I'm Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi, you don't, the Kumi Rabbi Yossi's friend say, you don't understand. Shekain Shovu Basik, it means if you're taking them out to make a bonfire, then they're mitzdarif with each other. And therefore, they're mitzdarif with each other, they join together in any activity of Otsah. That's what he meant to say. Okay? What's the shear? Amar Lezer, he said, Nisnei, if that's the case, we should say, Bekeh Otsah. Now, nobody knows what the next two words mean. I mean, they know what they mean, but they have no idea what it means. No, what it means.
Pony.
What?
It says
Kota. No, it says
Kos.
Oh, Kos Kota. So the various different things. The beer, the Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, Beitza Kala. A light egg, because that's the shear of cooking on Shabbos is the amount it takes to cook a light egg. Egg which is easy to cook, like a chicken egg. So that's what it means to say, if that's they're joined together in order to comprise the shear of Otsah for cooking a Beitza Kala. What happened was there was a Beis Kuf there. A Beis Kuf. And somebody misread it as a Kof Kuf. And then he made a Kos Cotton where it's supposed to be Beitza Kala.
I misread it as a Sama.
Right. But I like your shot. Kos Cotton's good.
I thought
that
was coming.
What?
That's a Reaper model.
A lot of people do that. Lieberman Taka says, I don't know what this means. Yes, but Lieberman does that, and the Mashbiach does that a lot. They both use that tool of saying the Rosh Tevis, which would.
So Taka, maybe it was a
song. Yeah, but just, I don't, it's not in context then. It's cute, but it's not in context, because it's talking about Hesek for burning, so Beitza Kala makes sense. Amar Yechani, Rechina said, The way what's his name, Libra, the beer learns this, Reb Chaim Kanievsky says that it's really a kasha. Nisnei Kotzos Beitza Beitza Kala. Why does it say? Why doesn't it mention that the shear of Otsah is the amount which it takes to cook a light egg, right? So nothing else. So our Rabbi Chinah said Kupta Mashli the Pisasa. The way the way Reb Chaim Kanievsky explains it, this is an answer. Meat joins up to make a shear of bread. In other words, let's say you have a sandwich, and in order to make up a gazayas, you need to take the bread into the count. So since the bread is tofel, you need to take the meat into account. So since the meat is tofel to the bread, so therefore you take the meat into account to make up a gazayas. I don't know if he passed in that way, Alach L'maisa, that's what Reb Chanina is saying. Kufta, the bread, kupta, the meat, mashlim l'pisa, pista, it makes up the shear of the bread. Pista l'mashlemis l'kupta, the bread does not help make up the shear of the meat. So to here, they join together that which is more significant. Okay? Asavi mashlim l'tevan, the grass makes up the shear of the hay, v'anatev mashlim l'asavim, and not vice versa, the hay does not make up the shear of the grass. Tan Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua Torres, Hotzi Tevin Lepara. If you take out hay for a cow, Kimlopi part, their shear is the amount the cow eats. Hotzi Tevin Ligdi. What if you took out hay for a goat, which obviously doesn't eat No, it doesn't need hay at all. What does it eat normally?
Grass. Right. So what if you took
hay for a goat? So says the Gemara, chayiv. Because in a pinch, the goat will eat it. Rabbi Ila Mar Rabbi Yochanan boy. Rabbi Ila said, Rabbi Yochanan has a question. Not that that's the case. Hotzi ochlin lechole. If you're taking out sick food for a sick man, can well be chole a chayiv. So it should be chayiv also, relatively speaking, which means whatever chole eats, even that's very minute. If that's what he eats, that's what he eats, and that should be mechayiv you.
Oh,
you mean you're carrying for him?
No, why would you say it?
You're carrying food out in Shisarabe for
a You forgot that it should, that there was no Eruv, though.
But he needs the food.
He's a Chol HaShem B'Sakana.
That's what I asked.
Yeah. Chol HaShem B'Sakana, yeah. Okay?
Right,
it would have to be. So in any event, everything should be relative to that extent. The Yerushalmi doesn't answer the question. Motor Rabbi Yosha, even Rabbi Yosha can see that we have her. Sheimotzi, there is a messed up here, so according to the beer, it should be Sheimotzi Asavim, not Tevin. If you took out grass, Lupara, for a Pura, for a cow, which normally doesn't eat grass. Kimoli pigdi, and you took out the grass, the amount which a goat normally eats, which is less than normally eats. Nonetheless, shahu, the mashbiach changed the beb yusha, the chaykinevsky changed again, shuchayev. You're chayev in that case. If you took off enough grass for a goat and gave it to a cow, you're chayev.
And I would think that beb yusha is correct, because your intention was for the
I thought so too, but the truth is, if you read the gears a second time, the way it's written, it makes no sense. Look, I'll show you. Marayeshashim hoitzi tevin, which is the amount normally for a cow, right? For tevin kmati for a cow, kimoli pigdi, which is not enough for a gdi, not enough for a cow, because moli pigdi, shubata, your exam. That's poshut. The Mishnah said it. What does it mean by the Rabbi Yosha? Obviously, the Mishnah said it. So we need a Chiddush over the Mishnah. What's a Chiddush over the Mishnah? Chiddush over the Mishnah is that if you took out enough grass for a goat, even if you're giving it to a cow, it's objective. It's an absolute. You're chai for taking out the cheer of grass, no matter who they end up giving it to. That's what it means, okay? The low tizbar don't take kumadi yisrael chumra, just like it was machmir, and said if you take out for a goat, hey, for its size, that's sufficient to be mechayiv yuchatos. So to yisrael the kule, he holds the kule, you have to take off enough grass for the cow. You don't say that. Rather, as long as he took off enough grass objectively, that arrays mechayiv him. Reibum barachia. Boy, he asked like this. This is a question really in our Mishnah. Now this, I looked, Lieberman brings down here Reb Meir Simcha, Zohar Samech, a beautiful, beautiful pshat. Zohar Samech says, let's go back in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if you take out onion or garlic leaves, the shear is a grogeris. Now says the Reb Meir Simcha,
the thing is, onion or garlic
leaves are a spice. If they're a spice, then there's what's the shear of any spice? No. Enough to spice. Enough to spice a what? Enough to spice a small egg. Now the Yerushalmi, the Mesezer Meir Simcha takes a step further. The Yerushalmi holds it's enough to spice a grogeris, which is actually a little bit smaller than an egg. So, how can you only be chayev on taking out onion and garlic leaves for a grogeris? That means you need a full grogeris of onion and garlic leaves to spice a grogeris itself. That makes no sense. That's how you should learn to Rishami. Rebu Rechi asked, boy, I got some chashayim atav shikur grogeris. You know, the Mayor Simcha adds the word, Shame Batavshil Elikur Grogeris. The whole dish is only Grogeris. Ukrogeres, it should be metabel as tavlin. Ukrogeres metabel ki grogeres. Need a full grogeres to be to spice another grogeres. It makes no sense. And of course, the Gemara doesn't answer. The Gemara goes on to say, Zir b'chinu v'shem b'chinu said, Chododat omar badumos. When do we say that the husk of a lentil joins to the lentil to make a shear? When it's red. But if it's a black kernel or black husk, partial say, then
you're going to remove
the shell of the lentil because it looks as the thing carbonator like a bug because it's a black husk. So therefore, since it's black, you're going to remove it. So therefore, it's not mitzvah to make up the shear of grogeres when you're cooking your lentils. What's so funny?
I saw the carbonator before you said it, and it kind of cracked me up.
Looks like flies. Okay, so that's why they're not mitzvah. The only red husks are mitzvah, not black husks.
All together now.
That was a toughie. That was truly tough. How long was it? Oh boy. I mean, that really separates the men from the boys. That was 13 block. Wow. Okay. In the Ushami, that's like almost a significant percentage. So it's like, almost 1% of the Bavli. Almost 1% of the entire Shas. Because there are 51 months. And 13 blot is almost half a month, right? So it's almost 1%. Okay. So 1% of Ushami, at least, is very difficult. Hamotzi Yank Deim Zigas Akos. If you take out wine, the shear of wine is the amount in order to dilute a cup. How much is diluted in a cup? What's the shear of dilution? One quarter. So this is a quarter of a revius, right? The amount of wine you're chayav on for taking out on Shabbos is a quarter of a revius. Okay? Gemara's going to discuss it. Cholav, milk, kidei gemir, the amount you swallow in one shot. Dvash, honey, kidei teisa alten al kosis, to put on the wound on the back of a donkey. Shemen, oil, kidei losu chaver, cotton, in order to anoint a small limb. Mayim, water, kidei losu vizakilur, it's in order to mix the eye ointment. The shakal, mashkin, any other beverage, revius in a full revius, which according to Chaim Noah is 3.3 ounces, if I recall correctly. B'chol shoyfchim. Any sewage water, which you save, you're saving, why are you saving? In order to mix your cement, revius here is also revius. Rabbi Shimon Meir, kulam revius. Everything was revius. Wine, milk, honey. Lomru shira kol shir malol, any other shir mentioned, which is el matzian, is only for people who actually save that shir, which is obviously aberrant, not the majority of the people.
This Mishnah sounds like it belongs in the last parak.
But in the Bible, it also sounds like it belongs in the last parak. Yeah, that's a problem to this parak.
It's the same pattern.
Same pattern, right. Rabbi Zira Shol Rabbi Yeshia. This is a pretty boring parak in the Bavli, but in the Yerushalmi it's much more exciting. Rabbi Zira, you will see. Rabbi Zira Shol Rabbi Yeshia. Rabbi Zira asked Rabbi Shir Yeshia, come, at least tonight's plan. Come, Shir Shikosis, what's the shear of a cup? Okay? Now, that means in our Mishnah, the shear of a cup. Says, Kdei Mizika Sakos. So Amrle, so he said, Nimun Sosim Minam Mefurish. Let's learn that which is not clear, explicit, from that which is explicit. Tanya Rebbe Chiya said, Alba Kaisa Shamru. The four cups of wine. When do we drink four cups of wine? Very good. Yeshlan Revius Yain Britalki. They're Revius of wine in Italy. The measure, it's the type of wine we're dealing with. Okay. It's different here. This is Italian wine. I don't know. It's Italian wine, you know, Asti. It's good stuff. Okay. Talented, let's over there. Mifanin arba v'chamesh kupos. One can remain. Now, this is interesting. Kabbalah never bothers asking this question. It says you can remove on Shabbos a tier, you can be matriach and remove from warehouse in order to make room 4 or 5 buckets. Rabbi Zira Shol Rabbi Yeshua, Kamishur Shol Kupa. Lamaisa. What's the share of a kupa that you can remove? What's the share of a bucket? They said, again, Nimot Sosman Forish, let's learn that which is not explicit and that which is explicit. What's that? The Tzniyavu Tamon, we learned over there by the Beis HaMikdash, when they used to do Truma Salishka, to take money from the office where all the Nedavas, all the gifts were stored. This is taken out in buckets. So what size are the buckets? They had some Sholosh Kupos in 3 buckets. So Sholosh Sholosh Seid, even to which can all 3 saw. Tormes Salishka, with that you do Truma Salishka. So to here, it must be that each bucket is 3 saw. Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Buntz B'Shem Re'elchan said, Rabbi Yehuda he. Now, here the gears is a little bit messed up in this Gemara. It says, that which it says, the Ritvaz here is kind of helpful. He says that that which it says, that which it says in our mission, the shiras kedei mezigas hakos, the amount which is required in order to dilute a cup, which means a quarter of a revius by wine, that's like Rabbi Yehuda. How know it's Rabbi Yehuda? Because the Tani we learned mayin kedei gemia. Water we say is, of course, Tanakama says the shear you swallow. Rabbi Yehuda omer kedei mezigas hakos. Rabbi Yehuda says the amount used in order to dilute your cup, so our mission must be going like Rabbi Yehuda. Mazuk bekama. Now once you did dilute your wine, what's the shear of how much you have to take out in order to be chayav on Shabbos for otzah? Yishmini me'adot. Let's hear from this. Mayin kedei gemia. Water the amount you swallow. Rabbi Yehuda omer kedei mezigas hakos. It says the amount it takes to mix your cup with water. Yain kedei gemia. Here the Ritvaz changes it. second. It just takes out a line, I think. The Shmei Adam, again, Mayin Kedei Gemia, Rabino Mer Kedei Mezigas Hakos, Yain Kedei Gemia, Rabino Mer Kedei Mezigas Hakos, it has to be just be taken out. Just take out that second line, okay? Because it's that repeat of the previous line, right? Yeah. Okay. Hadamra, this teaches us that the mazuk, once it's diluted, so the next line, the Ritvaz changes, it's Kedei Mezigas Hakos. I must be making a mistake. I don't know what to do with the Gersa, and I'm too lazy to figure it out right now. But the bottom line is that we see from here that the amount that it once it's diluted, the shear is Kedei Mezigas Hakos, which means it has to be a revius. I'm not sure how we figure it out. Somehow or another, we'll trust the Ritvaz on that. Let's go further. Kamishur and Shukosus, what's the shear of a cup? Once it's diluted, Rabbi Avin Amar Titron Revia. Now here Lieberman points out it should be Titron Shehu Revia. Titron is a quarter, I guess. Tetra's 4. So Titron is Revia. So Titron is a Revia. That's what it means to say. Titron Hu Revia. Mau Lishtoisa Mikvakrachacha. Now here's an amazing Gemara. Can you drink all 4 cups of wine Pesach night in one shot?
What would you say? Wrong.
Says Yerushalmi, Marshals Mikrachachot, can drink what once? Mean Madam Rabbi Yechnon, since Rabbi Yechnon said, Bahala, in Shom Pesach Knesset Yotze, Yotze, if you hear Hala on Shul Pesach night? Oh, it's a clear cut riot, it's obvious, right? Adam Rafilu Shati Mikrach Echad, even if you drink it at one shot, Yotza. So, what do you think the riot is?
It's got to be sensory. So since like Shmias Kahuna, it's as if the other sense of hearing somebody's drinking is like hearing somebody say the separate brachas satisfies the.
So the carbon eight explains normally hollow comes between the kosos.
Right.
Yeah.
So you take hollow away, kosos are together, right?
Right.
So that means you don't have to make a hefsek between the kosos.
You have a meal between the kosos also.
Right.
Not between the third and fourth. All you have is hollow. Yeah. So you're seeking them by the third and fourth, right? Right? Because you can say hollow earlier in shul, right? Combine the third and fourth, you must be able to combine all of them. There's no qualitative difference. Combine one of them, you combine them all. Right? It's not bad, right? You still don't get it?
I get it. I just think it's a stretch.
You're flabbergasted.
Well, not flabbergasted. It's just, it's not compelling.
Okay? Just wait. Says the Yerushalmi further. Can you drink them in several gulps? That means each cup, right? Because obviously you can drink them with gaps between the cups, right? We just asked whether you can drink them all at once. Means in each cup, do you have to go bottoms up, or can you drink it in gulps? Okay? It says, Yerushalmi, klum amushin yishte? Do you think all they said is that you should drink? Lo! She stuck here! Know that? You had to get drunk Pesach night. Okay. So as I state, you had to get drunk Pesach night. So, alright, there's a problem with the girsa here. The Lieberman changed the girsa. Everybody changed the girsa. Then the bottom, it says the Ritz changed the girsa. But the bottom line is everybody agrees that it means you gotta get drunk. Okay? So since you gotta get drunk, so that means bottoms up. You gotta drink one shot. From here, you have the source that you're supposed to drink the whole cup at once when you drink the arba kosos. Okay, I don't know if it's only from here, but that's okay. Imushoyse osam ifusakin. If you drink it in several cups, afu eno mishtaker. You don't get drunk, and that's bad. Okay. Mao says.
Well, the question is.
Still not compelled.
No. The question is one gulp versus. You're talking about pausing. The question is, in each cut, does it have to go in one go?
Right, that's what he's saying. You do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't pause within the cups. Right.
Forget about the pausing would mean taking the cup and taking it, putting it away.
You can't go.
No.
You have to go.
The question is, but that is, that's in between. You can still have a cup to your mouth and still drink.
Yeah.
Not drinking in more than one gulp.
Right. I guess you can make a small hefsek. It says in the Gemara, famous Gemara himself, Derech Eretz, so it's not Derech Eretz to drink a whole cup down in one shot. So you make a small interruption. But bottom line is you can't leave half the cup on the table. Okay? But here's the riot that you can't drink grape juice also Pesach night. Right? Because gotta get drunk.
But there's no little letter here, so...
Yeah, okay, that's a wheel. Wheel and Yerushalmi, you have to be machmir on these things, right? Mao, let's say, is beyond your face. Can it be Yitzik? Now, Lieberman here brings out Rameir Simcha again. And beautiful Rameir, another beautiful Rameir Simcha. And nobody understands what the kash is exactly. Why should you not allow to use Shemitah wine for Arba Kosos? So Rameir Simcha says the question is Kiddush. And the halach is for Kiddush, you have to use wine which is kosher to use for Nesachim. To libate on the Mizbeach. And you can't use Shemitah wine on the Mizbeach. Because it's not eating it, right? And we know that Shemitah l'ochla, that's bidav can be eaten. So Shaila, since you can't use Shemitah wine for libations, can you use it for Kiddush? Okay?
But the
Mizbeach
is a form of...
No, we don't pass them the way. I mean, it's a machlokas, but he says that there's a, it's an opinion which says that that's not called mechila. So, Tana Rav Yosha said, Yoytim behind Shushvias. We are Yoytim with Shushvias wine, and the reason, so Rav Meir Simcha explains, because it's not concerned in the wine, you can't put it in the Sachim. that which the wine you can't use for Nisachim, which is Pulse for Kiddush, is where it's a bad wine, it's inferior wine. But if it's a superior wine, it's just that there's some an extrinsic reason why you can't use it for Kiddush, for Nisachim, so then you can't use it for Kiddush. Say, you know, white wine, right? So you only use red wine for Nisachim. It's only because of, not because of the inferiority in the wine, but because of a special din. So that would be okay to use for Kiddush. Okay? The same thing, can use wine which has been spiced up, like sangria, where they steep fruit in it, right? So you can't use it for the nisachim, right? But mimaditani bar kapor said kunditon ki yait, spiced wine is like wine. Adon Melas teaches us yait be kunditon, you can use it for kiddush and it's for abrikos as well. Malotates mezugin are yait if you diluted the wine much more than usual. Okay. More than 1 to 4. Are you still yaitzi with the wine for kiddush? So it says Gemara, mimaditai Rabbi Chia, arba kaisis she'amru. Is the four cups that they said yaitzi b'em b'yibain, you yaitzi with them b'en chayim b'en mezugin, whether they are raw, in other words, undiluted, b'en mezugin or diluted, b'she'a b'em tam kemar yain, as long as it has the taste and the look of wine. So the bottom line is even if the proportion is more than 1 to 3, more than 1/4, you still can be yaitz as long as it has the taste and look of wine. Okay? The Maisa Ashkenazim, we pass, can you get up to? Have that. Yeah, 6. Up to 6 of wine. I told you the story several times already. I once went there many years ago. I'm getting old. Almost 20 years ago, I once went to hear Rav Avadia Yosef Shabbos Agudal Drasha. And he said that once a worker came to him who worked for one of the wineries under the Badatz. It was later, this winery was prosecuted by the Israeli government for fraud. So he said, you know, I feel terrible because they dilute the wine with water and sugar. And it's a shear of a sixth. And they don't tell them. And for Sephardim, you're not allowed to dilute it up to a sixth. It has to be half wine. Maybe a quarter wine, but certainly not a sixth. So Rav Avadia said, okay, so go tell them the Mashgiach. The Mashgiach was the head of the Badatz. Right, Reb David Jungreis at the time. So I went and told Reb David Jungreis. Reb David Jungreis said, you didn't look at the Heksha. The Heksha of the Badat says, based in Tzedek, L'chol Mikalos HaAshkenazim. I only give Heksherin for Ashkenazim, not for Sephardim. You got a problem, it's not my problem. Okay, says no more further. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Mitzvah Latzeis B'yayin Odom. By the way, the stuff you buy in the store, you can buy this kind of stuff in America too. Just truth and labeling. If you buy some of the Rashi wines, it says wine product.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not Rashi light.
Yeah, that's really. Cool.
It's wine product, yeah. Sephardi can't use it because it's too diluted. Not proper wine. Okay. Mitzvah says behind Odo. All right, Mitzvah says behind Odo. My timer. Why red wine? Don't look at wine which is red, so we see wine is red. Tani mevushol. Now here, nobody knows again what this line means. So Lieberman proves that it means that mevushol, yain mevushol, cooked wine is a din of a spice. Cooked wine is not wine anymore. Cooked wine is a spice. So the shear of otso is kedei tavel, the amount of cooked wine used in order to spice your pot. It's no longer a vias, it can be much less, because it's now, it doesn't have the din of a beverage, but the din of a spice. So the beautiful pshat. Levushol kidei tavel. As much as you need in order to spice up the pot.
That goes to also to the...
No. Ma'al latzeis b'yayim mevushol. K'wan b'yaytzi the kiddush with yayim mevushol. Gemara immediately asks. So you can have your cake and eat it too. Ha'b'yayin amar yaytzi b'yayim mevushol. You are yaytzi with cooked wine. Okay. Now Rabbi Yehuda with Kedaiti. Rabbi Yehuda follows the line of reasons. Rabbi Yehuda shatzei arba kasi the lele peitzcha. Rabbi Yehuda drank 4 cups of wine. This brought down. I think in the Tosis in the Bible is brought down. May seem in the Gemara. Shatzei arba kasi the lele peitzcha. He drank 4 cups of wine that at Pesach. The chazak reishi atzarto and his head hurt him till shavuos because he was allergic. So I see what.
That's
migraine headaches.
So I think that that's why he's promoting cooked wine, because cooked wine, it seems, didn't give him that same syndrome. It must be something which cooking kills in the wine. Okay, something like that. Okay, so now. Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Loi shasi arba kesed leila pischa. He drank 4 cups of Rhine wine. The chazak reisha and chaga. His head was strong until chaga, which is until Sukkos. Now the thing is, here Lieberman says chazak reisha doesn't mean the same thing it meant before. Here it means it didn't make him weak, but it made him strong. Okay, and it sounds like it from the rest of the maaseh, though it's very difficult to say that chazak means one thing here and one thing there. But anyway, chamsi chada matroina. A certain woman saw him, and this brought down also in the Bavli. I painted the horn, and his face was illuminating. Amalei, so he said, Saba, Saba, old man. Chadamin tlas milin yisbach. He wanted three things. Ishte chamrat, either you're drunk, or mavar bibisat, or you loan money with interest, you're a loan shark, because they're very happy, because, you know, they get what they want, otherwise they break kneecaps. Or megar chazirnat, or you're a pig farmer. Because pig farmers, whoa boy, they make loads of money. Okay, it was good old days. So in any event, Amar Lei, so he said to her, Tipach Rucha Dahi Itasa, may this woman's spirit expire. Okay, I'm not one of these three. Although the Gemara just said before he did drink wine and it kept him giddy till Sukkos, but he said that's not the pshat. El Ufa Shchiachli, Upani Shchiachli. I've learned, I'm accustomed to learn a great deal. The chesivin it says chachmas odom toyer ponov. The wisdom of a person illuminates his face. Rav Nachas the Tveria. Rav went down to Tveria. Chamuni tamidin Rabbi Yechonon. The students Rabbi Yechonon saw Rabbi Avo. A point in hearing that his face was illuminating. Amru kumi Rabbi Yechonon. They said in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Ashkach Rabbi Avo, Sim Rabbi Avo must have found the treasure. Amalon Lama, so Rabbi Yochanan said to students, Lama, why do you say that? Amalon, so they said, Apoy Nehirin, his face illuminates. Amalon, so they said, no, Dilma Reisel Chato Shamasol. Maybe you're in a new Shtekutoyer, you're in a new Kiddush, right? Salik Labe, so they went to him, Amalon, he said, Maya Reisel Chato Shamas, did you hear a new piece of Torah? Amalon, no, he said, not that, to Sefta Tikta. It's really a Tosefta I learned before, but now I heard a new pshat in it. And that's what made me happy. So he said concerning him, but Karolav, Chachmas Odom Toyraponov, the face of a person, the wisdom of a person illuminates his face. We'll stop here for this evening.